Now, all these things happening, and as I said, the statements of if it ever puts forth another branch, there'll be another book of Acts put out behind it. Now, how many of you understand that and believe that?
Amen.
Well, that motivated me this week to read the book of Acts. Let me suggest you do it. Take and just sit down, and you should be able to read it in one night. It's only about 26 chapters, and in a couple of hours you should be able to read it. And just try to get the flow and the picture of it. And I guess one thing I realized, I didn't realize how slow the traveling was. I mean, they get on a ship, and 5 days later they're at another place, and they land on this one, they can't get off for 3 months. Took them a year and a half to get here. In one place, going to have to stay 3 years. But you know what? Every place they went, they taught the gospel.
Amen.
Places Paul had to work. He stayed with people who had the same trade he did. He made tents with them. Then when he got to Rome, well, he got well enough acquainted that the centurion and the captain of the army that was with him let him rent his own place. And let him live there privately. And that way people would come see him. And Paul would teach them for hours about the gospel. Until in some of his other writings he'll write, and he said, there's believers in Caesar's household. Well, every 4 hours he got a new guard if he was in prison. And Paul witnessed to those men. And when they'd go home, they'd tell their little wives or what this man had said and these miracles and everything else. And they happened to be the maids in Caesar's household. And the gospel was preached and spread and wherever Paul was. And then he wrote letters to these other churches. And I don't think Paul had a clue that they'd be called Scripture.
Right.
And that you and I would read them today and say, that's the gospel. That's the Word of God. And it won't pass away.
Amen.
And maybe it's impressed on me like that because it's just like a couple of the pastors said this week, Brother Green, you were here. You read the letters. You wrote the letters. You talked to Brother Bradham. You asked him about this. I don't realize sometimes that how far-reaching what I have to say and what I did and what I experienced, that if there's another generation, they'll read it.
Right.
And they'll hear it. And that's the reason I'm like Peter. While I'm still in this tabernacle,
amen,
I want to be a faithful witness of what I've seen and what I've heard. And right now, I'm on this theme of clarifying things. Not restoring or correcting anything or anybody. But, you know, sometimes people have an opinion, and it's because they don't know the rest of the facts. But if they know the full story, and they know the background, it can have an influence the way they see things. There's some, regardless of how you say it to them, though, they're going to have the cow eating the grass out of the top of the tree. And I mentioned some of these things to Brother Kirk the other day, and he said, yeah, and in some places this tree is underwater on Saturn.
Yeah.
And you know, some of it has gotten way out there. And you know, as I read the book of Acts, I found out that not everybody agreed with Paul. And then Paul would have an experience, and then later on in Galatians or Ephesians, he'd write about it, and he'd say they did so and so. And you know, if there's anybody that knew the Lord, it was Peter. And when Paul and Barnabas went up and preached at Antioch and established a church, and even the pillars of the church in Jerusalem sent Paul and Barnabas back up there and said, one thing is, remember the poor. And after a while, Peter came from Jerusalem to Antioch and saw Peter, and he saw these Gentiles serving the Lord Jesus. Well, Peter just came right in there and lived like a Gentile. He ate their food and he worshiped like they did and so forth. But then there were some Jewish brothers came from Jerusalem. And when they got there, according to Galatians 2 and 11, Peter stopped being with those Gentiles and separated himself and went and started keeping the Jewish customs and traditions with the Jews. And put Galatians 2:11 up there because I want you to see that here's Paul said, I withstood Peter. And he told him, he said, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. Peter, you're wrong. I think he meant he stood toe to toe.
Yeah.
And bitterly disagreed with him.
Amen.
If you don't believe that, let's read on with verse 12 through 21 and see what he says. Now, for before that certain came from James, you ate with the Gentiles. But when they were come, Peter, you withdrew and separated yourself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Said, until they got here, you was one of us. But when they got here, you went back to being one of them. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also, that was Paul's evangelistic buddy. Even Barnabas was affected by this, and he stopped associating with Paul, the Jewish leader of the Gentiles, and he went over and carried away with their dissimulation. He stopped fellowshipping them. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? And Paul preaches the gospel here in a wonderful way. That's the reason I want you to read it. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law.
Amen.
For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
I do not frustrate the grace of God. I don't do this just with the Gentiles and then go live with the Jews. For if righteousness come by the law, then we didn't need Jesus Christ to be crucified.
Right.
Amen. I mean, Paul pretty well puts it in there that it's not works. It's not the law. It's not you being obedient. It's whether you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ or not.
Amen. That's
well, in the book of Acts, I also found where Paul said that Peter, James, and John, they were pillars in the church. And you know, that motivated me to look up, which John is he talking about? You know, there was John the Baptist. Then there was one that sometimes he's called Jonah, but he was the father of Peter. But there's the one they called the pillar that was there. Then Mark's name was John Mark. And then there was John the Apostle, the one that the brother of James, they called him. And so we can read where there was a John in Mark chapter 9, verse 38. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us, and we forbade him because he followed not us. And that's one of the most intolerant acts you'll find in actions you'll find in your Bible. Now, this is the John that was John the Beloved. He's the one that, after his experience on the Isle of Patmos and all the great revelations, came back and said, Brethren, love one another. If you don't love one another, you're a liar. The truth is not in you. But here he is talking to Jesus in his younger days. Very intolerant. Master, we found some that wasn't doing it like we were doing. They wasn't talking like we were talking. They wasn't using the same vocabulary. Can you go back to that verse, son? They weren't talking the same way. He was casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us. Now, he put himself in there. They wasn't following me. They wasn't like me. And John was trying to get Jesus to agree with him that he did right by forbidding them to do this. You'll find a lot of this in the Bible.
Amen.
Among Christians. Intolerant of anybody who differs with them. Why? I don't go to their church because they don't have church order just like we do. Well, I heard something on him. I'm not sure he's a believer or not. John had that same spirit. But thank God he got converted.
Amen.
Until he told us in the end of it in his gospel, you've got to love one another. If you don't, the truth is not in you.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, if you can't do that, then you need to go back and get saved again.
Yes.
But let's read on these other verses. Let's go to verse 39 and 34. But Jesus said, don't you stop him. For there's no man which should do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me.
Right.
Is there miracles happening, John? Well then, John, why do you want to stop him?
Yeah. Right. Yes.
You're afraid he's going to get some vindication or some endorsement, or somebody's going to believe he's the man of God also because he don't agree with you? God help us with our intolerance today.
Amen.
Sometimes I hear this term used among the message people. Well, they're a compromiser. No, but let's be a tolerator.
Amen.
Let's be able to tolerate somebody different with us.
Amen.
That's not compromising. That's learning toleration. But Jesus said, don't forbid him, for he that is not against us is on our part. So, if you're against him, then he can't help that. If he's doing it and miracles are happening and God's blessing his ministry, and you can't tolerate him, then you're the one that's wrong. Because you're against him and he's doing something for God. And Brother Bram said he'd rather be one in the pulpit making a mistake every day than one sitting in a pew doing nothing but criticizing the one that's doing something. Ooh. Let's learn to tolerate people. Let's not become intolerant. Now, there's another place where this spirit is dealt with in the Gospels. That's Mark chapter 12. Begins with verse 30. And Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Now, we understand that. That's something we should be able to do. But let's go back and read verses 9 through 13 to see what this is. Jesus came upon a man and did I give you that one? Chapter 12, 9 through 13. Did I leave it off the list? Okay, this is a place where a man came with a withered hand. And it was on the Sabbath. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. Let's go on. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. They just wanted to find something wrong. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if he fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days.
Amen.
Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other.
Yeah.
But you know what? They still didn't believe. They saw the power of God. And because they had in their mind, if you're right, you would not do that on the Sabbath day. And because you did it on the Sabbath day, that had to be Beelzebub that did that.
Right.
Folks, you getting your picture painted? Let's look at verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him. They went and had a preacher's meeting or a deacon's meeting. And they hey, how can we get rid of this guy? How can we destroy him? You know, that's what you're trying to do when you're criticizing somebody else. You're trying to kill their influence. You speak against their character. Brother Bram said, you're a murderer. Oh, you don't shed no blood, but you do worse than that.
Amen.
When you destroy their character. Let's go and read the rest of that chapter. They went out, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him. You know, while you're back there trying to connive evil and everything else, sometimes God just moves on. Great multitude, and charged them that they should not make him known. Don't go tell them about it. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying. And here, Jesus was there and prophecy was being fulfilled. You know, we make so much out of it the time they gave him the scriptures from Isaiah. And he said, this day the scriptures fulfilled. But look, here he's fulfilling something else. They didn't call it out the same way. But let's read this. And this is from Isaiah chapter 42. Verse 1, 2, and 3. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Isaiah prophesied that. And Matthew comes along and says, these things happened in the life of Jesus' day, that Scripture might be fulfilled in Isaiah's prophecy.
Amen.
Now, look what happened right after that. Verse 22 through 24. Then was brought unto him a man possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. Now, Don't misunderstand that. It didn't mean he acted like Satan. The devil, the evil spirit, possessed him, and that's what made him blind and dumb.
Amen.
You see, we know, as believers in this message, we need to understand that all sickness is of the devil.
Yes.
And when we are told in Acts 19:12, to take prayer cloths and put them on the people, what happens is the evil spirit departs. And then the body heals itself.
Yes.
By his stripes we are healed. But this sickness, this affliction, that's an evil spirit. Now, the reason I tell you that is because I think it's easier for you to believe, Satan, leave this person. And let that evil spirit depart, rather than you stand there and say, open them blind eyes. No, when the evil spirit departs, the blindness goes with it.
Amen.
Brother Darrell mentioned that last night. He said, I don't know how it happened. He said, well, my daughter was in the hospital and she couldn't see. But he said, Jesus passed through there and took the blindness away and she could see.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Years after she said, not yet, Daddy.
Amen.
The man, when Brother Bram told him up there in the Northwest, you're healed. The man went around and said, I can see, I can see, I can see. And one day in a barbershop, the evil spirit left him. I can see.
Amen. Yeah.
The same way with you and I. When the evil spirit departs, we're no longer sick.
Amen.
Praise God for deliverance.
Yeah.
And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and deaf both spake and saw. I can remember when that used to happen in Brother Branham's meetings. You know what, though? I think that's a shame that we have to say in Brother Branham's meetings. What about our meetings? What about our church? What about today is the day of salvation? See, this is one of the things that troubles me about the people that make Brother Branham the prophet, but then they make him Jesus Christ. And I can understand Christ living in him, But Brother Branham said to substitute him for Jesus Christ makes him Antichrist.
Amen.
And what could be Antichrist about that if it is God veiled in his flesh? What makes it Antichrist is because they put everything in Brother Branham and leave nothing for themselves.
Right. Amen.
And that's not God's plan. God didn't send Brother Branham to make him a mighty man of God, just to be a mighty man of God. He sent Brother Branham as an example to show us that a sinner, born to parents that didn't know more about God than a Hottentot did an Egyptian knight, an alcoholic father, a half Indian for a mother, and yet could raise him up and make a mighty man of God out of him.
Amen. Yes.
That's an example for us. But oh, today, if you prophesy, or if you say, the Lord led me, or I believe I heard a voice, or an angel came to me, oh, they're just trying to imitate Brother Branham. That's Antichrist. And when you take of all these things that I'm trying to clarify, that's the basis. That's the foundation. That's where it starts. They're trying to make Brother Branham deity. When Brother Branham says, I'm a sinner. You never heard Jesus say that. You never hear Jesus say, thus saith the Lord. He says, I say unto thee. Brother Branham said, my words will fail. Jesus said, mine won't pass away. So then they come and tell you, there's no difference between Jesus of Nazareth and Brother Branham. I beg to differ with you. And really, it's not Brother Branham we're trying to imitate. It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost that dwells in us, that makes us to be like Jesus, not like Brother Branham. Brother Branham only proves to me that it can happen to me. Let's go on and read verse 25 through 37. We need to read the rest of that. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you.
Amen.
Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men.
Right. Amen.
And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, that was Jesus, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, and that's God in you,
Amen.
It shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned.
Yes. Right.
God help us to guard our mouths.
Amen.
And not say anything against anybody that's doing anything for God.
Amen.
Now, as I read the book of Acts, I came upon Acts chapter 28, verse 6, right close to the end of it this morning. And Paul had become shipwrecked on the island of Malta. And The Barbius folks came out there and built a fire, and they had all had to swim to shore or hanging on to a board or a boat or something to get off of this shipwreck and get there, because an angel of God is said by Paul and told him, said, no lives will be lost. The ship and the goods will be lost, but no lives will be lost. And so the soldiers made them all stay there until they were hung up on a rock or a sandbar, and then they all swam to shore. And the people on the island came out and built a fire. And as they gathered up wood from the heat, there was a viper came out and latched onto Paul's hand. And it was a poisonous viper. And when the people of the island saw it, they said, this man must be a murderer or something. He escaped the sea, but here God's going to kill him.
Yeah.
And when the snake bit him, well, Paul just took and shook it off in the fire. And they says, well, he's a goner. They looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. It may be of interest to you to know that the first people that ever called Brother Branham a god was a family that the father was bitten by a poisonous snake. And Brother Branham was fishing with him. And Brother Branham prayed for the man. And the man never suffered any effects from the snake bite. And they take this scripture and they say, well, Brother Branham must be a god. And it started till Brother Branham finally, it got so heavy on him, he preached a message entitled Bruised Serpent. And God showed him that he's going to strike it, he's going to break off and swim off into some water, which Brother Branham said was the people. And some people said, well, it wasn't very long, so it wasn't very long. But I want you to know that doctrine and that teaching is now going down to the fourth generation. And Brother Branham spoke to me a lot in private about this, and I want to share with my congregation why I do not believe that Brother Branham is Jesus of Nazareth, incarnate in flesh. Brother Branham also told me that this started among the sisters. And knowing who they are, I can see that the sisters and those families are the strong ones that believe this doctrine. Now, Brother Branham concludes and says that's Antichrist. To substitute me for Jesus Christ makes me Antichrist.
Amen.
But if you say Christ lives in me, he says, I pray you're 100% correct. Now, what makes it Antichrist? I said this a moment ago, but I want to say it again. It's because they take everything and put it in Brother Branham and claim nothing for themselves. Now, I know what Brother Branham says in Mighty God Unveiled and God Hidden in Flesh. But let me show you the influence of this, even because some of them were handling the tape recordings. In 1958, Brother Branham preaches a sermon about men called of God. And he talks about David and Paul and James and John and the Hebrew children, many men. But because the word men was not in Brother Branham's vocabulary, Brother Branham calls them man. And so the title of this tape, preached in 1958, October the 5th, it's volume 2, number 27, in that volume, they called it God hyphen called man. In other words, God was being called a man because Brother Branham was that God. The tape, We Would See Jesus. Can We See Jesus? A Greater Than Solomon Is Here. Queen of the South. Hear Ye Him. Hear His Voice. Jesus of Nazareth Passing By. Who is this? You hear those tapes, and you'll see that they titled them like they want them titled. Their influence. Now, I would not dare say this if I had not had this discussion with Brother Branham. I asked Brother Branham one time, I said, Brother Branham, if these people are so wrong, why do you spend so much time with them? He said, Brother Green, he said, I've tried to get away from these people, and he said, I took my family one time and put them in a car way before daylight and left town. He said, they hired private detectives to find me. I said, I see, Brother Branham. I said, it's not you close to them, but them close to you. He said, Brother Green, you and I will talk about this conversation in the millennium. He said, you and I are close like this. And he held his fingers up like this, palm to palm. He said, this is the way you and I are. But he said, this is the way I am with them. And he turned his hands wrong side out. Now, you folks can believe it or doubt it or call me a liar. But this is where Brother Branham put me. I said, but Brother Branham, they follow you. And he said, they don't follow me and they don't believe what I say. But I've had people tell me, well, they're good people. I don't doubt that. And they say they're good people because they believe every word Brother Branham said. I said, no, they don't either. Brother Branham said to me after I got it, he said, Brother Green, they're wrong because they don't have a pastor. I said, Brother Branham, you're their pastor. And Brother Branham looked at me and said, I am not a pastor. I'm a prophet. And I'm supposed to go up into those mountains and stomp out of there with thus saith the Lord and get off of the scene. But he said, because I love people. He said, they'll be sitting by my car when I come out. Brother Brown, what happened? He said, I am wrong. He said, but I tell them. And he said, then they run with it. But he said, that's the reason God sent you here, Brother Perry. I said, they won't listen to me. He said, well, you tell them and you tell them and you tell them. And listen, folks. When I was taking typing in school, I started counting like this. And I count everything. And when Brother Branham said, tell them, I did my fingers like this. Tell them. You tell them. And 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 I was right there. And then I realized 7 times he told me, you tell them. And that's the reason I've kept myself unpopular with those people all these years. Because he said, you tell them, and 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 you tell them. And what would you do if you was me?
Amen.
Would you say, well, I want peace. I won't get along with them. And they'll hear this tape, and it'll be opened all again. And I'll tell you what their answer will be. Well, Brother Branham told us that Brother Green had come here to help them other people. But we were over here, and we knew something that he didn't know. I can't make them prove that statement. Brother Branham said something, that's the way they understood it. But I was having a conversation with him one time, and I said, Brother, I know you're wrong. Because like on page 328 in the Church Age book, Brother Vail put in there, about there will be a group of people who will think that he is the Lord Jesus. And I said, Brother, right there. He said, oh, brother, that's not me because I don't think it. I know it. I said, you know, brother, you're so positive about this that if Brother Branham hadn't told me things about you that I know you're wrong, I'd be concerned about myself. And he said, oh, yeah, but Brother Branham told me things about you too. I said, you know what? They must have been good. He said, why do you say that? I said, because you dislike me enough that if they were bad, you'd have done told them. You haven't told us what Brother Branham said about me because they must have been good. Because if he'd said bad things about me, you'd have done told them. And folks, I can't expect those people to agree with what I say and do.
Amen.
But I will not disfellowship them.
Right.
But that's the reason you don't hear good things about me or this church from those people. And I discovered this as I read the book of Acts. Who is it that persecuted and gave Paul the most trouble? Not the people of the world. Not the government authorities. It was his Jewish brethren. Who do we get the most persecution from now? One church to another. It is somebody that thinks they've got a revelation that you ought to have. And they're not willing to tolerate you. And they want to disfellowship you. And murder you and assassinate your character. And laugh at your calamity. Instead of trying to restore you or forgive you or being a brother in Christ. Now, I don't feel bad about this, my reaction to it, because there's not a one of them that's ever come to me for help that didn't get it. Financially, spiritually, and I'd have to say this, there's been several of them that when they either got terminally ill or sick or facing death, didn't call me or come see me and ask me to forgive them. And what I've said every time is, look, you were forgiven when you did it. What I'd like for you to try to do is to go tell everybody else you told. As the Spanish say, go pick up the feathers. Amen. You're the one who scattered them to the wind. They're the ones who tell the tales about Brother Green, or they find one fault that I've done, one error I've made, one place they think, or they've heard gossip, and it spreads like everything. And they rejoice about it. That's not easy in the flesh, but I'm telling you, it's gotten easier in my old age than it used to when I was younger, because I thought at that time they could destroy me if they could. But I know now that it's not my battle, it's the Lord.
Yeah.
And you say, well, Brother Green, why don't you just let a sleeping dog lie? Folks, maybe I'm the only person that can say what I'm saying. And somewhere or another, there needs to be a record of this. Now, the first time I heard this was in the Denham Springs, Louisiana meeting. Brother Branham had been in Beaumont. Now, I had been to the meeting in Dallas. And that's where I knew that Brother Branham had heard the conversation of Brother Gordon Lindsay. And I had asked Brother Borders if he told Brother Branham, and Brother Border said, I didn't tell him, I thought you did. And there was something happened there that I said, hey, you know, all these other things that happened that I'd seen in Brother Branham, something began to turn over to me that, hey, there's more to this than just being an evangelist or a divine healing ministry. Until that night when I turned to Brother Branham before the banquet and I said, Brother Branham, I perceive you to be a prophet, like Elijah. And he told me that he didn't say anything about it publicly because people didn't understand what a prophet was. But he said, I will not deny what the angel of God said on the Ohio River in 1933. Well, I had gotten acquainted with Brother Vail that week, and he had shown me the manuscript of 20th Century Prophet. I had told him that if Brother Branham would approve it, I would publish it. It was going to cost $1,500. That back there then, that was like $15,000, $16,000 now. And because I was in business, I guess Brother Vail and him thought I could and had the money, and it wound up, I didn't pay anything. There was 15 people gave $100. Their names used to be in the front of the book. And all we had to do was just say we're going to do it, and other people wanted to join in with it. But at Denham Springs, when Brother Branham said he'd read that book and he wanted to publish it, and I began to tell the people, well, one night, I got invited to a motel room, and there was two brothers there, and they told me that they believed Brother Branham was God, and that if I was going to be a follower of Brother Branham, I need to be baptized in the name of William Marion Branham. And I don't mind telling you, it excited me two ways. One in doubt, and another one, well, if this is true. And here's what I said, and I said it rather loud. I said, well, praise God. If Brother Branham is God, then Billy's his son Jesus, and Billy's one of my best friends. I'm going to get him to baptize me in the name of William Marion Branham. And they said, oh, and it didn't want the sound of my voice to go out the window into Brother Branham's room next door. Well, the next morning at breakfast, I told Billy Paul this. And so by noon, Billy had come back to me and says, "Daddy wants to talk to you." Well, Brother Branham never had called me in before, and I was honored to be called. And when I went in the room, Brother Branham told me, he said, "Then, Brother Green, I have to put up with this." He said, "You know that's false." He says, that's when he told me that this makes him Antichrist. He said, "But these people have a carnal interpretation of what should be a spiritual revelation." And he said, "Now, I'm buying a house out in Tucson." He said, "You saw it when you was out there coming back from British Columbia." He said, "When you get out there," he said, "I want you to tell these five brothers." And he named them off. Two of them I knew, three of them I didn't know at that time. He said, "What I want you to tell them is that Billy Paul is going to baptize you in my swimming pool in my name. But," he said, "I want those five men there." And he said, "I'm going to walk up on the scene." He said, "I'm going to put a stop to this once and for all." Well, every time I came to Tucson, I tried to get all five of them together, but I never did it. But that was my introduction. Well, wherever I went from then on, I began to meet the others. And I found out that they didn't even agree on everything. But they believed that Brother Branham was God in flesh. That there was no difference between him and Jesus Christ. Well, that's when I began to say, "Well, now, Brother Branham said he was a sinner. And he needed a Savior. But Jesus was not a sinner, and he didn't need a Savior." That was one difference. That's a big difference.
Amen.
Jesus was virgin born, and Brother Branham wasn't. But I found out that some of them believed he was. And that they used to tell Grandma Branham that, and she would tell them in no uncertain terms that Bill was not virgin born. And whenever the time came that Brother Branham had the accident and the car that he was driving, Brother Branham had agreed to sell it to me, and they all knew it. Well, they wanted to take it and put it behind the tabernacle in Jeffersonville and put it in a glass garage and call it the Cross of 1965. And I said, "Why?" They said, "Because he had to spill his blood." And they came up with the doctrine that Jesus died on Friday and rose on Sunday, so he had not spent the 3 days, and so this is going to be Brother Branham did this. And I said, "Listen, if you're saying that the blood of Jesus Christ did not pay your sins in full, then he died in vain."
Amen.
That's blasphemy.
Amen.
And I said, "But look, let's leave that aside. If Brother Branham couldn't be a Savior, he couldn't die for your sins. He was a sinner." "Oh, brother, I wouldn't say that about him." I said, "Look, he was married. He had children. He had an affair with his wife." "Oh, brother, he could have spoke them into existence." Now, I got a witness to these conversations, or I wouldn't tell them to you. And I said, "You know what, brother? You may convince yourself of that, and there's some other people you may convince, but there's one person in this world you'll never convince of that." And their answer to me was, "Oh, yeah, we know you'll never believe it." I said, "Not me, Sister Branham. You'll never convince Sister Branham that he spoke those children into existence." I went and told Sister Branham about it. If I told you the names of these people, you'd be shocked. They have not changed their doctrine. And it gets worse. I can't do anything but help them. Because that's what Brother Branham told me to do.
Amen.
He said, "Brother Green, be a pastor to him." I wish he hadn't have told me that. I can't stand that day and say, "Well, Brother Branham, I just wrote him off." I asked one of them one time for a favor. He told me no in certain terms, no. I just wanted to borrow a vehicle. And they told me no. I mentioned to Sister Branham that they told me no. And she told Joseph, a little 12-year-old boy. And he went and told him, said, y'all ought to let Brother Green have that. And I'll never forget the day I'm down at the old tabernacle and they come down and tell me, you want that thing? Man, we'll clean that sucker up. We'll have that sucker ready, boy. We'll fill that sucker full of gas. And I said, what do they call it? Sucker, 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 sucker. And I said, well, I didn't know they made one that brand. Well, they hear me say this. They didn't like me to start off with. This don't make them love me. But this may be the last time I get to tell them.
Yes.
I went back and told Sister Branham, and I said, Sister Branham, I want you to have Joseph tell those people to give me that thing. He said, they'll do it. She said, they'll do it. They'll give it to you if Joe tells them. What they've done is you don't hear them talking about Brother Branham being God now. You don't hear them talking about Brother Branham being Jesus Christ. Right now, all they believe is Joseph is God's prophet. And when Joseph was a young boy, he came to me and talked to me about it. And I said, Joe, you need to be careful. I said, because your father was a prophet of God. And he had a call on his life. And he had a guard. And those people come to him and tell him that. He had a guard, a gift, that withstood that thing in his life. But if you get around those, that spirit will come on you. And you'll begin to believe yourself to be the prophet. And here's his words to me. He said, Brother Green, he said, I know what my dad said about me being a prophet, and God is my witness, he said this. He said, I believe he meant preacher. And he said, I haven't felt a call to preach. But he said, if God did call me to preach, I'd consider it one of the greatest honors I had. But he said, even if I preach, I won't be able to say anything other than what my daddy said.
Amen.
I said, son, shake my hand. I'll tell the whole world you said that.
Yes.
Well, 4 years later, I have another conversation with Brother Joseph. And I say, Brother Joseph, that spirit's getting on you. He said, why do you say that? I said, because 4 years ago, you told me you wasn't a prophet. And today, you're trying to tell me you're infallible. And that God tells you what to do. And what you say is the word of God. And I said, now I'm going to give you one more warning. If you're not careful, the day will come when you will believe yourself to be Jesus Christ. Because that's what those people's spirit is leading to. And they will take and put you in the place that they had your father. And they will try to make you Jesus Christ. Well, how many of you have seen the signs? Joseph is Lord. Have any of you seen them?
Yes.
They've been right here in town. They painted all over the Northside Church. Went in the Sunday school rooms and wrote it on the Sunday school boards and spray painted it and put it on the marker boards. Joseph is Lord. Same people came right here and walked right down this aisle. Johnny and his dad stopped them. Good morning, Brother Green. We've come here today to worship our God, Brother Joseph. I called Brother Joseph and told him about it, and he said, well, yeah. I'm glad it's there and not here. I said, Joe, that's where I differ with you. I think you're the one need to say something and stop this.
Yeah.
I'd like to see you write a proclamation about it. Set up and tell everybody and tell them they're Antichrist. You're not Jesus Christ. You're not Lord. Now, he did get up and say, I don't agree with this. He did put them under a peace bond, that they couldn't go within 500 feet of the voice of God. And when I made that announcement the last time by those children, I was called a liar. I called him and asked him back then. He said, no, the peace bond's still there. I said, well, you're not enforcing him because they say he comes there all the time. But what is this? See, I was in I was asked by the nation of Israel, by the officials, to help this man, help them get this man out of the country of Jerusalem. Because he was over there preparing the way for Brother Joseph to ride a white horse through the eastern gate. And you can't embarrass him. He calls himself the white elk. And the white elk is going to kill the brown bear. Now that's a death threat. If they had the power and could get away with it, and he's got his disciples. And don't you think I don't try to be careful when I see them coming? It's just the same thing that they might do God a service if they kill me. Now, I've made the statement before that if some people in this message had the authority that the Pope had, they'd put their finger on the end of my nose and say, "Kill him." And I got challenged about this in a pastor's meeting. "Do you really believe that Brother Billy and Brother Joseph would have you killed?" I said, "I wasn't talking about Billy and Joseph. I got the letters in writing where I've been threatened." "And what is it?" "Because I say that Brother Branham was not my God."
Amen.
"Joseph was not my Savior." They both needed my Savior.
Yes. That's right.
And by God's grace, I believe they're saved. But these people who come along now and are against everybody else, and you say, "Well, what does this do?" What happens is you'll find all these other tangents of these doctrines that they try to make. And you know, I can't find one single place in Brother Branham's message where he says he's coming back from the dead.
Right. No, sir.
Not one. But yet they can take a statement where he's preaching about women and shorts and hair and makeup and so forth, and he leaves the subject for a paragraph, and then he says, "I'm coming back again now," and he goes back to his subject, and they take that he's coming back from the dead. But they can't take all the other statements he makes and make wrong, because that's what they want to believe. We had 250 ministers here in this church one time, and somebody brought that up, and we took and played the tape. And then I had a vote. And five brothers stood up and said, "No, Brother Branham said he's coming back from the dead. He's got to come back because he's got to have a tent and kill a brown bear and have an airplane," and they named it all off. And none of the other brothers agreed. But those five still believe it. It's like Brother Branham said, you're not going to change everybody. I ran sideways to keep from doing this today, but I want to get this out of the way. Because when you take any of the doctrines that we're dealing with, basically it comes back, right back to the Antichrist part of making Brother Branham God. That's the basis of it. That's the foundation. That's the first one that started. And when Brother Branham told me that when I got to Tucson, I'd find 9 different interpretations of his message, it took me 11 years before I found all 9 of them, because I refused to believe I had one. And that is, keep your balance in the Scriptures. But you'll see them there. Some believe they're in the millennium, and the first one that ever told me that is dead. And some of his kids are dead, and his grandchildren believe they're still in the millennium. Folks, my answer to that is, if Satan is bound, I don't want to be here when he's turned loose.
Amen.
Brother Branham had simple answers to things so often. Brother Branham talking about people, he said, if they're predestinated, they will. Well, that's it. Some will not hear it. And I say that for the benefit of those of you that I'm responsible for. That is, if you want me to be. I want you to know that there's more to the story than just somebody getting upset. And another thing that I don't think that God does, I don't think God intimidates you.
Right.
Well, now, if you don't see this, you won't make it.
No, sir. Right.
God does not play this game of intimidation.
No,
or to say, well, you just don't have a revelation of it. Where'd you get your revelation from?
Right.
Do you find anything against what you believe that Brother Branham said or didn't say? You see, this is a situation with the seventh seal. The reason that we did not print volume 6. Brother Owens had a version of it written now for about 4 years. And I got a letter from him this week that he's going to have his son, Benjamin, take the books now and print them, all of them, 1 through 6. Because the people in Norway took volume 6 as he wrote it and translated it into Norwegian. And the whole nation of Norway, the ones that believe this, are so happy and they feel so honored because God took their little country and their little language, and it brought the first truth of Brother Branham's message of the seals in their language. And now then, some of those has come to Canada, and I'm having the people call me, and I just have to tell them. And I said, I don't want to embarrass Brother Owen, but I cannot publish a book that I believe is spiritual adultery.
Amen.
You see, it's one thing to commit physical adultery. You commit sin against your own body and that of the sex partner. But when you commit spiritual adultery, you're affecting God. And to show you just how serious this is, whenever Moses smote that rock twice, God said, Moses, you're not going to go in the promised land. How many times did Moses beseech God? Well, God did this. And God finally said, Moses, don't mention it to me again.
Right.
You're not going because you brought a reproach on me when you smote that rock twice.
Right.
I want to tell you something, folks. It's a sad thing to bring a false doctrine.
Yes.
It's spiritual adultery. What about those who say the resurrection's already passed? What about those who are saying the rapture's already taken place? What about those that are saying that was the coming of the Lord at Sunset Mountain? When the truth is, Brother Branham did not even see the cloud. He did not mention it until June. What is it when they put it in the seal book that this is a picture of the cloud that Brother Branham referred to throughout these sermons and he didn't mention it a single time? Somebody's going to be responsible. In the rapture book, when they said he is the son of David now, when Brother Bama just said he'll be the son of David during the millennium. One word, one period in front of now instead of behind now instead of in front of now. Because now goes with the next paragraph. Now notice, now remember. But he is the son of David now in bold letters, capital letters. You tell me they did not believe that? You see, if they had had understanding of the scriptures and the message, they would have never let that go. That, to me, that's as bad as Obama saying John 16:3. They did not know the Spirit of God nor the message, or they would have not made him be the son of David now. Because that does put us in the millennium.
Yeah.
To me, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
And the most difficult thing that we have to do when we go to introduce the message to a new country or a new group of people is, okay, but Brother Branham says this. Well, I'm sorry, Brother Branham didn't say it like that.
Right.
That's somebody else's interpretation of it. Here's the tape. You listen to it yourself.
Right.
Well, why don't you just let them hear the tape start off with, Brother Green? Well, you see, that's another thing. The people who believe that don't believe there should be any preaching. They have meetings now, young meetings, young people, and they're doing more for the children and the young people than they are the adults. You don't hear them having a banquet in Jeffersonville for the adults. They'll have a youth banquet. They should only be a certain age to a certain age, never been married, and no preachers allowed. And the last 4 or 5 of them, the MC has said, now you can have pastor if you want him, but for me, I'll just take the tapes. Well then, we pastors are supposed to tell our young people, go? When we don't even know what's happening? What spirit is it? I can't see Brother Branham doing that. I can't see him trying to separate your young people from their home church. But yet, if we say or do anything against what they do, then we are anti-message. Because we don't accept their interpretation and application. So I say again, I personally have suffered more persecution from my brethren in this message than the Roman Catholic Church has given me.
Yeah.
Now I'll tell you what they'll do with that statement. Well, the Roman Catholic Church is not against him because he's like them. You watch it. You'll hear it. Because they'll hear it however they want to hear it.
Yeah, right.
And I if you can believe it, I'm not against them. I just don't agree with them.
Amen.
Now, I want you to know this. Brother Brown told me one time, he said, Brother Green, said, if they didn't do that, I would have to repent of my ministry. He said, I would not be doing what God sent me to do. If they were not mistaking me. Now, if they could tell me some of these things that Brother Branham said about me and show me that I was wrong, and I look at, hey, I'd get up and say, folks, I'm sorry. I didn't know this. I didn't see this. But I'm trying to do what Brother Branham asked me to do. The pastors this week did agree, and they brought the subject up, that if everybody that had come through Tucson Tabernacle was still here, McHale Center wouldn't hold them.
Yeah.
Well, I can honestly say this. I haven't gone anywhere.
Amen.
I'm still here. It used to trouble me that people would leave because I want to please everybody. But I know they just can't stand my wife. You know, I even get criticized because I got such a good wife. And they can't put the fault on Sister Green because she don't talk about nobody. I haven't heard it. She wouldn't let me talk about them to her. So I have to come talk to you people. Makes me do it publicly. Put it on tape. Put my neck on a chop block. But you know what? I believe God's in charge. And just as sure as Paul withstood Peter, and later on Peter come back and said, you know, there's many things about our beloved brother Paul's writings that's hard to be understood. And some do wrestle with him as they do the other scriptures. I know some things I say may be hard, especially if I've said something about something you hold dear and got a revelation. But what I'm doing is I'm asking you, make sure you're saying what Brother Branham is saying. Try to understand fully that he was sent to forerun. And when they tell me that Brother Branham foreran Joseph, I say, now that is a shocker. Because they sent the greater before the lesser.
Yes, right.
And that's not what John said. I do not believe that God sent Brother Branham to forerun his son Joseph. And if they make him the Lord, that's what they're saying.
Yes.
And I want you to know, Joseph don't believe that. Joseph does not believe that he's the Lord. And I pray for him daily. Because he has no privacy. He slips into his office, he slips out, he goes through he and Billy use a separate driveway, they raise the door, they close the door, they go up back stairs, they can't go out in public. I feel for that.
Yes.
But I do think sometimes they could say something bad, say something a little bolder about it and put a stop to some of it. When we have a wedding or a funeral, and one of them gets an opportunity to say it, if Brother Joseph had just said, "Hello, I'm praying for you," it becomes the Word of God to so many people. What a responsibility.
Yeah.
But you don't make a man God.
No.
There's one God.
Amen.
And Jehovah God of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New.
Amen.
And He's coming back, literal, to take us away.
Yes,
and there's going to be a resurrection of the dead in Christ. There's going to be a catching away.
Amen.
We're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's going to be a tribulation on this earth, which we can see it coming. There's also going to be a pressure.
Amen.
But the bride's not going to be here when the tribulation takes place.
Amen.
But then we're all going to come back with the Lord to set up His millennial kingdom in this earth.
Amen.
And I personally believe that that's the seventh seal. Because it's identified with silence in heaven. And Brother Branham says that Revelation 19, when they come back, there'll be silence in heaven because there'll be nobody there. Now, I didn't say that. He says it. But that's not the way you interpreted it at the beginning, so you may not want to change it. Let's say what Brother Branham said.
Yes.
Pray one for another. The resolution. I knew there was something else that's reading. I looked at those notes. Brother Branham read a resolution about the copyright and the franchise. And I'm not going to do that this morning. That'll be a service on its own. But it was against Brother Way. And I want you to know that Brother Branham gave letters to Brother Way, or had Billy give them to him, that when people would write the office for tapes, Billy would give them to his dad, and his dad would write on the outside, "Brother Way, send these people tapes." And Brother Branham says on tape, "We have a society in the church who gives these tapes free at no charge to people." He's talking about Brother Edmund Way. So when Brother Branham reads the resolution that was made up by the board and asked Brother Branham to sign it, Brother Branham signed it. And he came, after they read it, Brother Branham came back in the back office, handed it to me, and said, "Brother Green, that is not the spirit of my message." I said, "Brother Branham, then why did you sign it?" He said, "I told Internal Revenue Service that I would not dictate to my board." And he said, "I cannot violate my word." He said, "But would you, as a friend of mine and a friend of the board's, would you go to them and tell them this is not what I want?" Well, do you know where he put me? And I tried to do that. And they laughed at me. They said, "If Brother Branham wanted us to do that, he'd tell us himself." I said, "Brothers, don't you understand that because you are board members, and Brother Branham told Internal Revenue Service he would not dictate to his board, that he cannot come and tell you himself, or he would violate what he told Internal Revenue Service." It's the same thing when Brother Branham came to this city. And he had a meeting with the 10 full gospel pastors that were here, the Assemblies of God and so forth. And he told them, "I didn't come here to start a church," because they were afraid if Brother Branham came here and started a church, he would empty their churches. So he told them he would not. So through the months after that, when the people wanted to have a church, Brother Branham asked different brothers to start one. And they would go and find a building and come back. Brother Branham, is this where we're supposed to be? And Brother Branham wouldn't answer them. Because he'd be violating what he promised these pastors. You hear Brother Branham say on the tape, I didn't start a church in Tucson. Brother Green did. Well, they take that. Well, see there, Brother Branham had nothing to do with that. That's Brother Green. But let me tell you the difference. Brother Branham asked me to come, and I said, well, Brother Branham, you've asked other brothers. He said, they're not going to start one. I said, okay, I'll come. He goes home and tells Sister Meady, so she tells me. Comes in the kitchen, picks her up, whirls her around. She said, Bill, what got in you? He said, Brother Green's coming to Tucson to start us a church. He's the kind of guy that'll get the job done. Now, Sister Branham told me that 2 years after Brother Branham's gone. I'm sorry, folks, but when she said it, I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. But that's where the difference was. When I found the building, I never went and asked Brother Branham. I just did it. That's what he told her I'd do. And so Brother Branham was happy. Brother Green, you tell us where it is and I'll have everybody there. Well, the first Sunday we had it, it was full. And he's the one who mentioned we'd be there and then have another one. He said, when that and full, the Lord be ready for the Lord to come. Folks, I just look at it and I see nobody made Brother Branham sign that resolution. He signed it because of his ethical confidence that he would not violate Internal Revenue Service. But when that board stuck it out there, they didn't have the discernment to realize they were making him violate. They would make him violate. I personally believe that's the reason that God has allowed us to find the tapes, the films, the places, the pictures, and the things. But you know what? They can't even see that. Why did God let us do that? I think it's because God knows we'll share them with everybody. Every time I found something, take it to them, that's theirs. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't. And I said, like when I found the film, they wanted me to give the copy to Brother Billy Paul and let him show it to everybody. I said, Billy can't get around the world to show it to everybody. Like the picture of the pillar of fire on Brother Branham's shoulder. Well, they weren't going to handle that. Well, I didn't know what we was getting when I sent that man $50 for those negatives. And got it back, and they said, oh, you can't let that out. Brother Branham didn't want that out. Well, nobody told me why. So I'm off somewhere one time, and we were printing all the pictures in black and white, 10,000 of them, and Brother Andrew Thompson was the office manager then. He called me and said, Brother Graham, we got space for one more picture. Which one? I said, well, I don't know. Go through the negative. And when I come home, he printed that one. 10,000 of them. Well, I wasn't going to burn them. So it's out all over the world. Praise God. Amen. Thank you for being patient with me. Amen. God's been good to us. Amen. It's an honor to be part of God's plan. Amen. We'll work till He comes. Amen. We just want to be a faithful servant to Him. I believe that God sent Brother Branham to forerun the second coming of the Lord. But I can show you where he said throughout his ministry that Gabriel will announce the second coming. Would you stand with me? Let's sing, So Glad I'm Yours, Lord. So glad I'm Yours, Lord. So glad I'm here.